You know, sometimes as you study the scriptures, there are things that are very obvious, and that's the stories. But every once in a while, as you study stories, it seems like something connects, and such is the sermon, the message I want to give for a few moments before we go into communion. I was reminded that sometimes your communion goes to 1:30. I'm not committed to that. I'm committed to much shorter for you today. So I need your help. I'm going to look at two stories, and I'm going to connect them. And I think as we connect them, you'll be impressed with the conclusions that we can come from. There was a story that Jesus was part of, and he said, wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be told of her. What story am I talking about? Wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done to me will be told about her. What story am I talking about? The what? The story of Mary. And when you take a look at the story of Mary, you find that in all four gospels, it's indeed preached. You find in Matthew chapter 26, you find in Mark 14, you find in Luke chapter 7, and in John chapter 12, the story of Martha. And that Jesus was at Simon's house. Who else was there as a special guest besides Simon? When you look at all four chapters, who was also there as a special guest? Well, Jesus was there, but someone who was raised from the dead. Lazarus was there, and who was used to serving? Martha was there, and as they were there, and whose house was it again? Simon the leper, and what town were they in? Bethany. They were near Jerusalem, and when they were there, Martha was serving, and who comes in with an alabaster box? Mary does, and we're told that it was very expensive, equal to 1 year's salary. Think about that. While Jesus was there, Mary came in, and she broke the alabaster box, poured ointment on her head and feet. She wiped, tears were also streaming. She wiped the feet with her hair. And so you have that. And when the fragrance filled the room, according to what Selena read, one of the disciples reacted. And who was that disciple? Judas, it says. He was the one that reacted. And he said, why this waste? Because this could have been sold for 300 denarii, equivalent to a year's salary, and given to the poor. And did the other disciples go along with what he said? Yes, they did. They went along with what he said about Mary. Now, that caught her because she was doing something out of a heart of gratitude, and she didn't know how Jesus would respond. She already learned how the disciples were responding, and she started to pull back. But how did Jesus respond to what she did? He said, let her alone. Wow. You wouldn't think there would be a resistance to selling something to take care of the poor. Isn't it good for us to take care of the poor? Doesn't Jesus teach us to take care of the poor? But he said, what about the poor? You always will have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. I think there's something to be said about that. When you have the person in your life, that is the time you do an expression. She has prepared my body for burial. In doing this for me, she is testifying about what's going to happen to me. Now, this story happens in the last week leading up to Jesus' death. And so it's an expression. Mary, out of a heart of gratitude, expresses in this way her love for Jesus. And the response, it's interesting in Luke's story. In Luke's story, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus says, three things. He says, your sins are forgiven. What else does he say? Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Affirm the faith and then go in peace. What a beautiful story. She had the affirmation and Jesus affirmed her at that time. That's one story. And the story involves the washing of feet. But it wasn't by water, it was by this ointment. And so there are two actual stories in the New Testament about washing feet. And in this particular one, Jesus' feet is washed, and it's washed not with water, but by this fragrant ointment. And the motive behind it was out of a heart of gratitude for what Jesus had done for her. The second story is found in John chapter 13. And in this particular story, Jesus' feet is not being washed, but what is he doing? He gets up from the supper table, and he goes and he prepares himself, takes off the outer garment, he takes a towel, a basin of water, and starts to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, just like in Mary's situation, when Judas reacted, who reacted in the story of Jesus washing the feet? Who reacted? Peter reacted. And Peter said what? You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you cannot have part of me. And then how did Peter respond to that? Not only my feet, but my head and hands, wash me all over. And Jesus said, no, I'm teaching you something here. If you are washed, you need only to have your feet washed. And so some of the Adventists had seen that as part of Jesus teaching to us that once we are baptized or clean totally, that each communion service is an opportunity to renewal with God, to renewal with each other, to have a re-cleansing, and to have forgiveness for sins, and express that we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that he ultimately is coming again. So the disciples were all there in both stories. Each one had someone that reacted. In Mary's story, Jesus had his feet washed. In the story of the Last Supper, Jesus did the washing of the feet. Mary was motivated out of a heart of gratitude to express to Jesus. Jesus was motivated. He said, what I have given you an example, which is what? What I have done. I have come to serve, not to be served. I have come to show and put into expression that I care. So one was out of the heart of gratitude, the other was showing. Now, is that important? That is very important, because when you read in the story of Matthew chapter 26, have you ever read what follows that story? When there was an expression out of a heart of gratitude and sacrifice, that spirit one of the disciples could not handle. Who is that disciple? Judas. Read what happens after the story. It says he left and he went to the religious leaders of the day, and he says, what will you give me if I betray him? He could not, because of his own selfish heart, he could not accept that Mary, out of a heart of gratitude, could give that kind of gift. His mind was so selfish, so covetous, that when he saw Jesus accept that, he went out and he accepted 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. That is significant, because what it tells me is that I condition myself to leave the church at some point in history if I have a covetous attitude. I will find an excuse to leave Christ's church and the fellowship when I see unselfish manifestations on the part of God's people. Now, what about the other story? When Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, Judas' feet also was washed. But if you read what happens right after that, you remember Jesus said to him, what you have to do, do quickly. And what did Jesus see? Judas left, and it says it was night. And what did he do immediately after that? He went to the high priest. He got a band of soldiers, and he went and found Jesus in Gethsemane, and he betrayed Jesus. He could not accept being part of a kingdom where the king was willing to be humble and serve others. In both circumstances, we can see that the mindset of Judas could not accept someone who sacrificially loved and gave for Jesus, and he could not accept that Jesus was willing to be a humble person. Two important principles for us as Christians. How do we respond when someone loves Jesus? How important it is that we should have treated Mary differently. Instead of judgmental and criticizing, we should have said, Mary, help us to understand why you would do that for Jesus. Instead of judging and evaluating what we do, how can you do it? I can remember one story. Well, I was actually a pastor in a place called Tantallon, and that's where Pastor Crook is presently retired in Yvonne. And I can remember a family. It was back in those days when they're still the country. They lived in the country a little bit. And they still had the outhouses and that, and they were elderly. They could have certainly used having indoor water and also opportunities for bathroom. They received an inheritance, and guess what they did with the inheritance? We naturally thought they would put in the facilities, but guess what? Their delight was it to give the special projects in the church. And many people couldn't believe that. How can you do that when you have some personal needs? He says, our joy is supporting the Lord's work. Do you think they were criticized for that? They were criticized for that, just like Mary was criticized. Instead of saying, why would you do that? Give us your testimony. They said, they want to see the Lord's work go further. We have lived for years like this, and we're comfortable. We don't need to change. So it's so easy for us to evaluate and criticize when someone out of a heart of gratitude gives for Jesus. And like Judas, if we have a covetous mindset, if we have a mindset that does not like to sacrifice for Jesus, it actually can be a condition that we then turn away from the fellowship, turn away from Jesus. And like Judas, we go out and say, what will you give me if I betray him? And on the other, the spirit of covetousness for me and mine to get in the time that Jesus humbled himself and prayed and served the people and served his disciples. Judas could not take that. And he left from there to betray Jesus. So it's just a reminder to us that as we think of the washing and service today, that it's part of Jesus accepting that we have a heart of gratitude for what he has done and that we are here to serve each other and to humble to each other. Spirits that aren't around a lot today and spirit that God would encourage us. So when you think of the communion service, think of the two washings of the feet. Jesus accepted the humble expression of the gift of sacrifice on Mary's part. He also accepted that he would be humble and serve. And so today we have that opportunity to do that. We separate, we serve each other, we come back and partake of the emblems. That's Christ's broken body and blood that's shed for us.